What is up, CSGs? In this video, I talk about Jalen Green's recent performance. Is this sustainable? Is this something he can keep doing? Is it cap? You know what I mean? I'm going to talk about that. Also, I talk about why this game versus Cleveland is the most important game for the Rockets' chances to make the play-in. Tap in right now. Enjoy. The Rockets Chop Shop is your one-stop shop for all your basketball needs, for highlights, analysis, podcasts. We do it all here at the Rockets Chop Shop. Make sure you hit the like button on the videos that you watch if you enjoy them. Hit the subscribe button to get notifications from all the great drops that we have on the channel. Also, you can visit the Chop Shop merch store and get you some of the swaggiest gear in the Houston Rockets kingdom. And if you want, you know, you can always support the channel directly through donations. And if you want, you can support us through our partnerships with our sponsors. The Rockets Chop Shop is made by fans, for fans, and we're going to keep rocking and keep dropping that heat. You deserve from me. This is something I know. So the Houston Rockets have won 6 out of their last 7 games, and a lot of people are kind of surprised at why the team is catching fire. You know, I thought they would hit a stretch like this earlier prior to the All-Star break. Didn't think it would take this long for them to hit that stride. But, you know, with the slump that all the players went in towards the end of January, there was no way they were going to win a bunch of games. But coming off the All-Star breaks, you get the fresh legs from everybody. And everybody's kind of back. You know, this is the team that we saw at the start of the year. And to me, it made sense why they're playing better now is because of fatigue, right? Fatigue was the reason why they crashed out towards the first half of the season. The style of play they were playing, the type of defense, that physical that we're seeing right now, right? They play physical. They want to switch and guard in isolation. A lot of teams don't do that because that is a playoff style, right? That is a style that requires a lot of one-on-one matchups in NBA. That is a tall order to ask for your players to do on a night in, night out basis. And I think a lot of the efficiency from some of the players suffered from it. We saw Fred and Dylan tank their efficiency. Dylan is still kind of struggling with his shooting. Fred is back to normal, baby. Fred is back. Steady Freddy is back, shooting in the mid 40s for threes, and his field goal percentage is up now. And he's just playing really good ball right now. And then, you know, Şengün was playing good ball until he got hurt against Sacramento. And now, you know, we've seen from about a good 8 or 9 game stretch, Jalen Green's post All-Star break, you know, welcoming. This has become an annual tradition for Jalen where he decides to be a good basketball player after the All-Star break. And it does beg the question, is this for real? Is this something sustainable? Is there anything different about this one compared to the ones from the past? Is it something he's doing? What is the difference? And I dug a little bit, not too hard, but I dug a little bit just to see if there's anything that we can glean from Jalen's past All-Star break performances compared to now. So just to set a baseline, let's look at how he's performed in the past in pre and post All-Star break, right? So 2021, his rookie year, 14 points pre All-Star, 22 post All-Star. And obviously we know the context for that. He was being marginalized for players like, you know, Christian Wood and, you know, Eric Gordon and things like that. He really had free reign in that post All-Star break to make you know, take over the offense more, him and Kevin Porter Jr., and resulted in him actually scoring more. But look at the efficiency jump. He went from 38% field goal, which is nasty, to 47.6. 3-point went from 31.1% to 38.7 post All-Star break his rookie year. And free throws are relatively the same in all three of his seasons. So I want you guys to keep those numbers in mind as we go on to the next season. So in 2022, this is Jalen's best season of his career scoring wise, averaging 21.8 points pre All-Star break, 4 rebounds, 3.6 assists. His field goal percentage, 40%, nasty. 3-point, 33.3, and free throw, 78. Post All-Star break, scoring goes up by like 1 point something points. Rebounds and assists are relatively the same. The efficiency is 43%, 40 from 378. So just keep in mind, this is a trend that we're seeing, that his efficiency goes up after the All-Star break. The scoring ticks up after the All-Star break. This is something that we're seeing, right? And currently now, this first pre-All-Star break he just had, probably the worst of stretch of his career, right? 18 points. So he's scoring damn near at his rookie year points per game, 4.8 rebounds. I think that's a career high for him. And then 3.4 assists, which is relatively the same. But you have to think about it in the context of Fred and Şengün being the primary initiators of the offense. So that's pretty good for him. The efficiency in the pre-All-Star break was nasty. 41%, 30%, 80 from the free throw line. Now, if you look at it now, you look at it over the 3-year period, this is on brand for him. The only thing that went down was really his scoring, right? And you think about why his scoring went down was because there's better players around him right now with Fred, with Alpi, with Dylan, instead of Kevin Porter, you know, Deshaun Nix, you know, Garuba, KJ Martin, and all these Tate. So now there's better players. So his scoring is naturally going to go down. So he has been on brand. You look at the post All-Star break, 21 points, 4.9 rebounds, career high, and then 3.3 assists. His efficiency, 43%, 36 and 85% from the free throw line. So honestly, there's really nothing statistically different about what Jaylen is doing. This is like clockwork for him. But, you know, I wouldn't be good at my job if I just stopped there. Let's look, dig a little deeper and see whether we can glean some more information. Now, one thing I've noticed about how he's playing recently is that he's driving to the basket a lot, right? That has been his MO. Some of the games, he does take too many threes, but there are some games where he doesn't take a lot of three. I think recently he's kind of scaled back a bit and kind of knowing when he is on and when he is off. I think that is a big jump for me. That is a big leap for me, for him, as far as shot selection awareness. These are the things I look at with JJ. I don't care about the stats. He's going to be a streaky three-point shooter, right? He can average 21 points on good usage. That's going to be him waking up out the bed. But what you're looking at are just how his decision-making, what are his shot types and things like that. So on the drives, pre-All-Star break this year, 45%. Post-All-Star break, 45%. So he's not scoring just more efficiently when he drives to the basket, but he is driving to the basket more. Another thing to note, Jaylen leads the team in plus-minus, right? Post-All-Star break, 3.1, plus 3.1. This is the highest plus minus he's had in any of these stretches in his career. Pre-All-Star break, he was a negative 1.1 on a team. For the most part of that stretch was a positive. So he was a negative on a team that was a positive. And largely a lot of the reasons that we are struggling to be in the play-in right now was his play. But the thing I always said, you know, I mean, even though I would have benched him, and put Tari Eason in when he was not injured. I would have probably put a man in at some point during the stretch of the season. But I always said I understood what Coach Udoka was doing because he's investing in the long term, right? He's taking short term losses for long term gains. And as those come in, you start seeing numbers like this. Him being a positive, a plus 3.1 on a team that's trying to win, that's, you know, that's a big deal for him. That's a big deal for Jaylen. Another huge part of why he has been playing well to me, regardless of the scoring, because if you look at some of the scoring, it's kind of up and down. The efficiency has been bad for the most, but it's been decent. Some games, you know, when he's on, he's on. When he's off, he's off. But look at this. Defensive rating pre-All-Star break, 114.2, which would be bottoms on the team, probably in the worst in the starters. Look at the defensive rating post-All-Star break, 111.7. That's pretty good for Jaylen Green, right? That is pretty good for Jaylen Green. That's probably the best defensive rating of his career. And this is what, like eight, you know, like 11 games actually. So there is something changing there. And you guys can see this. You can watch this on film. When we look at the matchup, some of the key matchups that we've had this stretch post-All-Star break that Jaylen has actually had to guard, look at some of the shooting percentages for some of these players. These are, and I picked the names, right? The household names, the name brands. You look at it, Devin Booker, 27%. Bradley Beal, 0% on three attempts. And damn near wanted to fight JG because he was clamping him up so bad. Devin Vassell, 33%. Kawhi Leonard, 40%. Paul George, 25%. Kevin Durant, 44%. CJ McCollum, a decent 50%. Brandon Ingram, 40%. Jalen Williams from Oklahoma City on a lot of attempts, 33%, and SGA 55.6, which has been the toughest matchup. Shea is a hard matchup for everybody, bro. So like there's really, you know, you just kind of tip your hat to him. But at the end of the day, you're seeing why Jaylen is a plus 3.1. And when you look at all the stats and when you take, you know, you strip everything down, that is really, really what sticks out to me. the numbers, the scoring is the same, right? The offense is the same. And if you look at how we're playing teams right now, or the type of teams that we're playing, it's been a lot of bad teams, right? So he feasts on bad teams. This is on brand for Jalen Green. But the defense, to me, is what's been impressive. The defense has been impressive, and the shot selection is improving. It's not where it needs to be. I put a tweet out that says, if Jalen just trimmed the fat, the CTE fat on his shot selection, he would be a pretty good player, like right now, right? The shots, I know Coach Udoka probably tells him to throw those threes up for the sake of the offense because of what I said earlier about them trying to get more threes up. And theoretically, he is one of our better shooters on a team that has been one of the worst three-point shooting team in this calendar year. That's not saying much, but I understand for the sake of the offense, he cannot turn into Russell Westbrook under Mike D'Antoni where he's taking one or two threes a game. He has to shoot them. He just has to shoot them. But when he starts making them, it does really make a big impact on the team. One thing I also found interesting, in the last eight games where Jalen has been cooking real good, he is driving to the hoop 10.5 times per game, which is pretty high. That's high. That would lead the team if that was his season average. That's up there with some of the best drivers in the NBA. And the biggest leap in his efficiency in the last eight games has been on drives. He is scoring 53.8% at the rim when he drives to the basket in the last eight games. So that's impressive. And that's really what it comes down to. You think about those games where he has good games, but he goes 1-for-10 from three, right? And that's because he's scoring 80% at the basket. And that's something that's sustainable to me. Now, as we pivot, I'm going to pivot this over to the Cleveland Cavaliers, a team that has been pretty hard for us to figure out over the past, you know, this year for sure, over the past few seasons, with their twin towers in there. You know, they give us fits because our guards are not just super dynamic shooters. So, you know, I mean, they pack the paint with Jared Allen, and I think Mobley's hurt right now. But when Jared Allen is in there, you're probably going to get blocked. And Jalen gets blocked a lot. Fred gets blocked a lot. Even Şengün gets blocked a lot against these bigger centers. This is going to be a challenge for the Rockets. And I think as far as when we talk about whether we actually have the ability to make the play-in this year, I think this game is the most important game that's going to determine that. It's going to determine that for us because this style of play that the on defense that Cleveland poses, where they do dare you to shoot shots, is going to play into our weakness. Now, watching these past few games, these past two games without Şengün, obviously the competition has been subpar. The Wizards are likely the worst team I've seen probably in the last 5 years. They're worse than any team we've fielded under Steven Silas. Honestly, Wizards are a bad team, and San Antonio is actively tanking. And I thought we were bad at giving entry passes to the big man. Oh, yeah, they said, hold my beer, and we're going to be 10 times worse than the Rockets at giving an entry pass. Having Wemby there and not giving the ball to shoot contested jump shots is just... it's just that should be finable, at least arrestable, in my opinion. But I digress from that. The two games, even you look at some of the stretches of games that we've played. Wizards, no big man. San Antonio Spurs, Wemby is there, but they play him on the perimeter. Sacramento Kings, you know, that was a game that Şengün played in, but he got hurt. I think their interior defense is bad, you know, because Sabonis is not an interior defender. Portland Trail Blazer, no real big man there. Clippers, Zubac got hurt, so no real big man. Phoenix, you know, what's his name, got hurt as well. They're big over there, so they didn't really have a big man. So Nurkic is his name. Yeah, blanking there. So it's been a stretch of teams that don't have interior defense, and this kind of is where I think the Cleveland game is really going to stick out for us, because this is going to be the first dominant big man we're going to face in a while. And for Jalen and for the entire team, I'm curious to see how they react. I'm curious to see how they react. Now, I just bragged about Jalen driving to the rim in the last eight games, 10.5 times, shooting 53.8% at the rim. When we played Cleveland, the last time we played Cleveland, you know how many times Jalen drove to the rim? Take a guess. Against Cleveland. Zero. This was in December. Zero times driven to the rim. He had a bad game. A bad game. I think he shot like 33% from the field. So the reason I'm pointing this out as far, and I'm going to tie this all into the play-in, to Jalen's, whether he can sustain it. Because if this is real, if the driving is real, and his play is real, what you're going to expect from Jalen in this game versus the Cleveland Cavaliers, is going to be for him to drive and get to the rim and try to get free throws and also play good defense against whoever he has to guard, whether it's Garland or Mitchell or whoever it is. So that matchup, because Donovan Mitchell has 100% shooting on Jalen in the last matchup. So he really took his soul on offense, and then Jalen was just not, didn't have a good game on defense. So this game is going to tell me whether this stretch post All-Star break is different, or is it just more of the same? Because when there's no big man there in the paint, you can drive. He has one of the quickest first steps in the NBA. So he can get to the basket if there's no deterrent there. How do you react now? Because all the stuff that I'm crediting him for has to come into play, right? You have to get to the rim, right? You have to either make your layups or kick it out to an open teammate. I like what he's doing on the driving kicks right now. His assist percentage is, on drives is up to about the mid-20s. This is a guy that was in the 17s, right? 15, 16, 7, in the mid-teens for drive percentage for a guard is horrible. That is a 3 and D drive percentage. So he's up to the mid-20s in this stretch. So I want to see that, because basically what they're going to dare him to do is when you drive, you're going to meet a body there. What are you going to do? Are you going to throw your body at the defense, get blocked, lose the ball, turn the ball over, or are you going to kick it out to an open teammate? With no Şengün there, there's no gravity on the weak side. So they can fully sell out for Jalen Green, and I expect them to do that. So this is going to be a tough matchup for him. Right, it's going to be a tough matchup. Shot selection comes into play here, right? Based on what the defense is giving you, are you going to go into your midi back, or are you going to throw up, you know, 10 threes again? Because they're going to force him and dare him to shoot. He has to know when to shoot, when to pass, when to drive. And these are the leaps that I want to look at from him, because I think if he can put that all together, the Rockets have a shot. Now, schematically for the team, with no real big man, Jock Landale, to me, you probably want to start him, because I wouldn't trust Jabari versus Jared Allen. That's going to be a mismatch on both ends of the court. Jabari cannot guard him. And then on the offensive glass and other things like that, they're going to feast on that. So Landale probably starts against Cleveland. And Coach Udoka has said that it's going to be a lot of matchup based what the lineups are going to be determined by. So I expect Landale to start, but you know, they might want to, you know, go 4D chess and put Jabari and try to go five out and space out the Cavs. To me, that's going to be dumb. We're not going to be able to outshoot them. They have shooters everywhere on that team. They're big on the interior. So your best bet is try to play a traditional set and let Jalen play a lot of on-ball reps. Hopefully Fred's legs are still fresh and he can make those shots and hit those threes that he's been hitting. I think him coming off the screen, hitting those threes is going to be very important, especially since Allen plays that drop big coverage. So that this game is so crucial for the Rockets, because you look at what we have coming up after Cleveland. We get to play the Washington high school team again, the Wizards. We have a frisky Bulls team. They're frisky. You know, they're not as bad as I thought they were. Utah is a team that I'm not sure what their MO is right now. So that's going to be a big game, but winnable. Chicago's winnable. Portland is a team that is tanking, so that's winnable. OKC is a game we probably can lose. Another Utah game is a game that we should win. I think we should beat Utah twice. I'm not sure. I think by then they should have declared whether they're tanking or not. We should beat them. We should beat them twice. We need to beat them twice. Dallas is a game you probably can lose. Minnesota is a game you probably can lose. That Golden State game on April 4th is probably going to be for all the marbles. If so, I've given us three games that we can lose. And then you get to Golden State. You got to beat Golden State. They're playing LA right now. Right. They're playing LA right now. And if the Lakers take care of business, that puts us really about 2.5 games back of the Warriors for that 10 seed. And then you get Miami, Dallas again, the Magic and Utah, and then let close out with the Clippers and Trailblazers. Now, it seems like an easy schedule, but, you know, there are a lot of games that are supposed to be easy, but you just never know with the Rockets. Right. You never know. I'm not really, with LP going down, you know, I'm still kind of leery about what the team really is right now, because I can't tell with the San Antonio and the Wizards game. But this Cleveland game is going to tell me, is that defense real? Now, offensively, the Spurs, they struggled to score. Their defense was really elite against the Wizards. Their offense was elite. Their defense was subpar against the bad team. So this Cleveland is going to give us a good barometer of what they actually are post Şengün. It sucks that Cam Whitmore is out. Şengün is out. Tari Eason is out. When the playoffs are right there for us, honestly, you think about all the stuff I've been saying all year about hey, this team is viable. Just give them some help, right? Bring in some guys that could actually play, some bodies, so they don't have to fatigue and play all these minutes, so guys don't get hurt. Bring in some functional roster pieces for us, right? That can shoot, right? Instead of Jayshon Tate coming out there, instead of relying on Reggie Bullock, as much as he's played well, even Jock Landale in his new resurgence as a player, it's been against pretty bad competition. When we play the real teams, I think this is where talent really matters. And this is where a lot of times the Rockets, all year we've been a positive team with our starters. But when we go to our benches, that's when we lose games, right? Because the other teams have vets and actual NBA players. So this Cleveland game is going to tell me a lot. Going to tell me a lot. Do I think we can beat them? I'm going to be honest, probably not. I don't see us beating the Cavs, but I'm going to give us a puncher's chance. If we do beat them, I feel like it's going to really set the table for us to be able to make the play-in. If we beat the Cavs with this team that we have now, I think the Rockets have a very good chance of making the play-in outright, just outright making the play-in, because it offers a new dimension. But, you know what I mean? That's my thoughts on this. I don't know what y'all see. If y'all think that the Jalen Green thing is sustainable, let me know. If you think we can beat the Cavs, let me know. If you're new to the channel, hit the subscribe button. If you like this video, hit the like button. Keep rocking with the Chop Shop, and we're going to keep dropping that fire.